Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
The Killer Bees!
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of the Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
Pretty good. Pretty good. He's Blank, I'm Branham. It's Brian behind the glass. Welcome back, Brian. I already have a headache.
Because of me?
I don't know if they're related.
You
I don't think they're
in
related.
With a headache.
I did. I also noticed that your truck...
Uh-oh.
Looks like a slant again.
Not a wheel route, it's a slant.
Maybe I just parked sarcastically, slash S.
It looks like a slash S, minus the S. A little sideways, that thing. Excuse me as I'm salivating right now at Drake May throwing a wheel route to Travion Henderson. I'm bullish on Travion Henderson, boys. Bullish on him. I don't know how to feel about Drake May. I feel pretty good about Drake May.
You don't
though.
Care about Ramondre's new contract?
That wasn't that new, wasn't it? Last offseason?
I thought it was this offseason. No,
I don't remember. I think it was before he signed, though.
See, I thought it was this.
Or, I think it was before he was drafted, Travion Henderson.
Yeah, you're right. It would be that. It would be before Travion was drafted. But would they pay Ramondre what they're paying him, and then just?
It was last year. It was June 20th, 2024. He signed he signed a 4-year extension worth $36 million. He's RB2. Ramondre Stevenson. Travion Henderson
should
get
be.
Touches.
Ramondre hasn't been efficient in
Look,
years.
I think they're both going to play, obviously. Like, run it. Both, gone are the days where there's only one running back that plays on a team. But I think that Travion Henderson's going to outproduce Ramondre Stevenson, regardless of who starts or whatever. Plus, he's going to catch a lot of passes. Sorry. I saw a video pop up, and I was like, ooh, that Travion Henderson, he's looking good. They also showed a dime to Stephon Diggs. I like joint practices. I like the highlights we see in joint practices. Grant Stewart's, like, getting the Dolphins to tremble in their boots, which is awesome. Go Cougs. Texans will be playing a joint practice tomorrow. Do you play a joint practice? I don't think you play a joint practice, Branham. Yeah. I don't think you play a joint practice, you idiot. You wouldn't say you play
you
a joint
scrimmage?
Practice. I think you just you have a joint practice.
Because it's drills and...
I think you have a joint practice.
Yeah,
you participate
you
in a joint practice. Certainly don't play in one. Which, you know, whatever. Anyways, I'm trying not to talk about the Astros game last night. Did you realize the Astros play at 6:05 today? Sincerely?
No, I did. You know what?
6:10, actually.
I'll say this. I didn't realize it until I got up this morning, and I'm like, wait a minute. That's got to be a misprint, right? That's just the East Coast time, and someone doesn't have it right. And then every site that I checked said it's a 6:05.
Yeah, I didn't realize it until
wonder why.
Right before I got it, because it's a travel day. It's a travel day. So they bump it up an hour because of the travel day.
Huh. Makes no sense as a travel day, though. What, an hour?
An hour.
Yeah usually that weird. Travel day is like a 1 o'clock game.
But that's why it's not at 7. It's because it's a travel day. You wouldn't do this on a game 2 of a series, unless it was national TV, which it's not.
That's the only thing I was going to say, was like if it's another one of those quirky, quote-unquote, national TV games, would they start it at 6:05?
But it's not. So, right. Like, it's certainly the travel day thing. Lineup is out today. I think people might be a little bit disappointed. I think people might be a little upset about today's lineup. And we'll get some, we'll see if Espada has some quotes about certain things today. Peña, Sanchez, Altuve. Okay. Walker, Caratini, Yiner, Urias, Smith, and Melton against the righty Walker Buehler. No Los, no Carlos Correa. Day off tomorrow, rubber game of the series. Seattle's tied you in the standings. Are you okay with no Los in the lineup, assuming he's healthy?
I'm not a fan of it.
I knew you wouldn't be.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of it just simply because, as I've stated multiple times, like, you're in go-for-it mode right now. Like, I understand that you're a deeper team because of what the guys you brought in, but he's been hot. He's been doing a lot, and you need him right now. Like you said, you're neck and neck with the Mariners. Not a fan of that.
Correa lifetime against Walker Buehler. I mean, it could be better. 429 average with an OPS of over 1300. Oh, now, it's God. Only seven at-bats. He's homered in one of those seven at-bats. But, yeah, I was. Hopefully it's not an injury. Hopefully it's just one of those traditional Dusty Baker, give a player an off day before an off day. I'm okay giving Correa a day off. Like, he has a bigger body. He has been injury-prone in the past. I'm okay giving Correa the day off today. I know it's very curious. You know, maybe you could have done it yesterday whenever there's not a pitcher that he's had the success with. But, yeah, day off today. The old Dusty Baker. Give him a day to give him two.
He just got done saying how, you know, his body doesn't feel broken down and worn down after playing, because when he's not playing shortstop, likes playing third, hitting the ball well. I'm not a fan.
Yeah. Yeah, I tend to give them the benefit of the doubt when it comes to giving players days off. I mean, Correa, too, could be like, hey, I could use a day. I could use a day. Get me right for the weekend. Get me right for the rest of the year. But no Correa, despite good BVP. Still waiting for Joe Espada to talk to the media. We'll see if there's more there. Hopefully not, because the Astros can't afford any more injury news. Can't afford any of that. But what'd you think of yesterday's game, Astros losing big?
I think there was a reason why I turned it off early, because the frustration level was like, I hate when I'm like looking forward to watching the whole game and just being able to get everything with the family out of the way, and then just watching the dam break and all hell break loose and go, oh boy. It was not fun to watch. It was tough. You know, it's the second start from Arrigetti. Didn't give up any hits like he did in the first game. Control was an issue. At the end of the day, when you look at a guy that goes five and only gives up two, it's a decent start. But the Dubin thing was just, oh my God. I mean, when he gave up the bomb, I'm just like, okay, this is what is frustrating, because you're waiting on so many pitchers to come back. And yeah, it's one thing to say, great, they're back, but you can't expect them to be anywhere near what they were or what you want them to be right away. And he obviously was not.
Yeah. You turn off the game, huh?
I did.
Casual.
Yeah. Yeah, I absolutely did.
Cash. I went on a walk, but I kept the game playing in my ear just in case they like started a fight or something. Or Chaz McCormick pitches in the game.
Yeah.
And Chaz McCormick's pitching out of the windup with runners on base. The most typical Chaz McCormick thing. I started laughing as I was walking around in my neighborhood. The strangers and the neighbors were probably, who is this guy laughing at, this weirdo? But Chaz McCormick was working out of the windup with a runner at first and with a runner at first and second. Like, one batter, okay, he's not a pitcher, he'd forget. He did it multiple times with multiple batters. He was working out of the windup with runners on base. It was worth finishing that game to watch Chaz McCormick pitch. It was hilarious.
Like, you don't have Cooper Hummel to call into that situation anymore. So you go to, and it just seems like that's so Chaz. Like, that's just so typical Chaz.
Typical
to go in the windup knowing they're not going to run. They're up two touchdowns.
That was hilarious. And Roman Anthony took a walk against him. He took a walk against Chaz McCormick, which is Bush League, in my opinion.
I think that's kind of Bush.
You should be swinging for the fences. You should never take a walk against a position player. I don't care if he's not giving you a strike. You take your hacks. I compared it yesterday on Twitter at Jeremy Branham to taking a walk in beer league softball. Who does that? Who takes walks in beer league softball? You go up there, you swing for the fences, you take your hacks against Chaz. Roman Anthony, you made the list. You're on my bad side. You're Bush League like Jacob Wilson. Alex Cora's Bush League, too, kept his starters in the game yesterday and had a mound visit in the bottom of the ninth inning. Mound visit in the bottom of the ninth inning, up by 14 runs.
That's pretty weak.
It's Bush League. I can't stand Alex Cora, but that's beside the point. Arrigetti, I thought it was a step in the right direction. Was it a good start? I mean, it was the same result as Christian Javier, who we were like, yeah, five innings, two runs. I thought that there were some promising things with Arrigetti. Like, gave up one hit over five innings, mm-hmm. gave up two runs over five, kept his team in the game. He left the game, it was 2-0. The command, though, is the thing that he's going to have to figure out. But, look, he wasn't getting rocked around like he was in Miami. He was competitive whenever he wasn't walking guys. So it's a step in the right direction for me. Certainly the control for Arrigetti needs to get fixed.
Yeah, the five walks, the hit-by-pitch with the bases loaded, the hardest hit ball I thought at the time, because I was really worried about where it was going to end up, was after he hit Story to give up that ball to the warning track in center field that I thought when it left the bat had a chance to at least go off the wall. But yeah, the control is the major issue with him, and that's where the frustration lies, is that he's going to get better as he continues to pitch. It's just you don't have any kind of a buffer and lead that to deal with in the division to where all these games are so hyper important, and you know he's going to continue to get better. I believe that. I thought a lot of his pitches looked good, and like you said, they were competitive. It's just that control thing is, you know, he's never had great control, but I don't know when he's going to, you know, how easily he's going to dial that back in.
Yeah, it was, hopefully he gets it figured out, but that was a bit, the command was especially bad. That third inning, whenever Boston scored all of those runs, was frustrating because he almost got out of that inning. All the runs against Arrigetti. There was the one where he hit Story in the hand on a 1-2 count. Like, that's very close to getting the bat. It was very close to a swing. I do think the umpires got it right.
They did.
It did hit Story. Story did check his swing just barely, but I mean, he's a fraction of an inch from getting the second out there, maybe a punch out, and then the next batter, yes, it could have changed the situation, all of that. Yoshida hits a fly ball to center, would have been out of the inning. So I thought there was some good from Arrigetti. Second start after missing 4 months, I'll take it. But certainly things to work on.
Yeah, no, and like you said, I think that it's progress. I think that there were positives. I thought that, you know, from the standpoint of the one thing that I looked at is how quickly Blummer and TK were able to, oh, he definitely checked his swing. I was like, boy, that barrel got real close to the front of the plate and to parallel and a little bit more. Where I was like, I'm not that confident that it wasn't. But at the same, and I know Josh Miller lost his mind in the dugout too. But but when you look at the replay, I mean, it was clear he got hit. The only thing that you could do to change it was to say that he swung. But you know, the fact that the frustration for me was, I understand you give up a hit. You're competitive. You challenge him and say, hey, he hit the ball. You know, make him hit the ball. But right after you give up the hit, the walks and the back to back walks, and you're like, okay, now you're setting the table for your own disaster, and you're not letting your fielders give you any help. And you're really, I thought he could have challenged the hitters more.
Sure, absolutely could have. That's the area that he's got to get better. The bullpen was brutal. Okert, like, meh. Then Dubin, first outing back, got rocked. Colton Gordon was just there to eat innings. He's been sent down today, too, by the way. Mm-hmm. They're bringing back that Weems guy. So there is that. Other than that, I mean, not really much else to talk about when it comes to the to that game yesterday.
No, I mean, look, you can look at the guys that had multiple hits to say, okay, you know, there's some positives there. And, you know, and Pena had a multi-hit game. But, yeah, overall, again, I think that as good as everybody's talking about that May pitched, when you look at it, I thought that they had a chance in the first first couple innings. I forget what they did in the third, but they had guys on in the first two innings, and he was throwing a lot of pitches to where you could have done some damage on him too, and just weren't able to capitalize.
Couldn't do it. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Busy show. It is a Wednesday, so Mailbag Monday, naturally. We'll do that a little bit later. Got to talk some Houston Texans. Texans making noise. I mentioned this yesterday. Like, what's going on with Joe Mixon? It's been very, very quiet on the Joe Mixon front. So I put on my journalist hat and did some investigative journalism on where is Joe Mixon. We'll kick that around a little bit later. Big NFL news is that James Cook got paid today. I think running backs are underpaid. We'll discuss that a little bit later as well. 713-780-3776, the HRNP listener line. We're on YouTube at ESPN Houston. We're on TikTok at ESPN 975. You can find me at Jeremy J. Branham there. We're on Twitter at ESPN 975. Blankers at Pac-Man Joel. Brian at Sack by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. News on Hader and some quotes from last night after the game on Hader that doesn't sound great. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live in the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees. Now back to Joel and Jeremy.
So some Hader news. Get to your thoughts in a minute. 713-780-3776. I noticed this yesterday reading Matt Kawahara's article about the game in the Houston Chronicle today. He had quotes from relievers. And, like, it's always, okay, maybe you can find a hint there. Most of the relievers are like, hey, everybody's got to step up, blah, 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 blah. But there was one from Souza that was interesting to me. He said, quote, we're going to have to do a really good job of picking each other up and staying confident and fresh throughout this next month and a half.
Oh, wow.
There's a month and a half left in the season. Like, that quote tells me that Hader's not returning before the playoffs.
Do
at
we
minimum.
Know the question was specifically about like, it was about like Hader's absence or just the bullpen?
It was about the bullpen stepping up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's still not great.
Susan, we're going to have to do a really good job of picking each other up and staying confident and fresh. I mean, it's about both. I mean, he's talking about picking each other up.
Mm-hmm.
Really good job of picking each other up and staying confident and fresh throughout this next month and a half. So whenever I read that, I'm like, well, they're without Hader for the next month and a half. And there's the next month and a half left in the season. Minutes ago, news coming from Joe Espada. Joe Espada talks to the media before each game, little dugout scrum. Always like to read the three-peat reporters, like their tenor, because they're always very different tenors. I think McTaggart's like straightforward. I think Kawahara's a bit straightforward. I think Chandler Rome's like a little bit more...
Grumpy pants?
Yeah, probably.
Clownish?
I have fun with the clownish thing, but I don't think he's a clown. I think he's a good journalist.
He leans on the negative side.
Bad takes, but good journalist. Clown takes, bro, but good journalist. But he always errs on the side of like his story today on the Astros, the headline, and look, he's technically right. His headline was the Astros squandered a 7-game AL West lead. Technically right. But you look at the other headlines, and they're not nearly as like negative Nancy as that one. So he errs on the more fear-mongering side, I think. Sensationalism, I think. He's not a sensationalist, though. I don't want to say that.
The glass is definitely most times half empty.
That's a good way to put it. That's a good way to put it. A little bit more like bothered that he had to write a headline type of thing. So anyways, the three, McTaggart, Kawahara and Chandler Rome to me are like the holy trinity of Astro beat reporters. McTaggart for Major League Baseball, Kawahara for the Houston Chronicle, Rome for the Athletic. So McTaggart, Astros manager Joe Espada said Hader is seeking a second opinion for his shoulder strain, but there's no word on what the first opinion said. Quote, this is going to take a little bit longer than 2 weeks, Espada said. So not a two-week injury. Doesn't sound great. Didn't share the details in the first one. Is seeking a second opinion on the shoulder. You always point out you seek a second opinion. You don't love the first one.
Right.
Kawahara. Hader will seek a second opinion on his shoulder. Joe Espada said Espada did not share details of the first opinion, just that Hader will be out longer than 2 weeks. Rome. Hader is seeking a second opinion on his left shoulder strain. Manager Joe Espada said Espada declined any further comment on the situation in order to, quote, give Josh his space. As he seeks the second opinion. I mean, I'm not expecting him back the rest of the season. I think he's done.
Yeah, as much as I was hopeful yesterday, none of that sounds or seems to line up as anything too good. And you throw in the Sousa comment, and I'd be looking for the fact that, well, maybe it's just the fact that the bullpen hasn't been great of late in a lot of ways and a lot of guys, and maybe they know they need to pick it up. But, yeah, with all of that being said, it just sounds like it might be they're playing the rest of the regular season at least without Hader.
It's massive. It's massive news if that is indeed true.
Yeah, like one tell I think we've picked up on over this year, maybe last year as well, that when the news comes out and the Astros treat it as kind of pessimistic as, well, this could take a while, believe them, because they usually tend to be on the more optimistic side and overpromise when guys will be back. And we saw that with Isak. Like, as soon as they said, well, this one looks like it's severe and it could be a while, so we found out, not that soon afterwards that it was going to be like a 7-month injury. Obviously, yeah. We don't think that Hader's going to be a 7-month injury.
I don't know.
But, I mean, I guess it's within the realm of possibility. But all that to be said, like, if they're feeling not optimistic about it, I would take the side of it's going to be a longer injury.
Yeah, the only time they haven't been optimistic is Isak.
Yeah,
that could have been a hamstring surgery that would have cost them 7 months.
Let's calm down, guys. Let's just wait till Dana speaks, and then we'll get that that inflated.
Dana talked this morning.
Edward, did he?
Yeah.
Did he say anything about it?
He wasn't really asked directly about Hader, so he kind of was able to dance around it a bit. It was just kind of like, guys have to step up. We're not ready to proclaim what our bullpen hierarchy is. He wasn't really asked directly about the – oh, he did say, like, we're going to have more information later today. So it wasn't anything, with any meat on the bone there.
Yeah, I just – and half kidding, but again, to Brian, to your point, normally he's the guy that puts the very much rapidly – a rapid return
He's
date.
He's done it with Jordan all year.
It sets a deadline that's unrealistic that we then pass and go, what the hell are we doing? How long is it going to take? And then it's significantly longer than they initially said. It just doesn't sound great. And the second opinion thing, they didn't like the first one, in my opinion. The fact that you know, you need him so badly. It's now what the hell do they do? Because, yeah, you know, you've got some guys that look like they have some promise. But overall, I mentioned the bullpen has had some more than a couple of hiccups lately, too. So they have to step up. And that whole, you know, door is shut, eighth, ninth, and sometimes more than that if you're going to extra innings. It's going to be a challenge for them.
Texture, I can't believe that there's any way we could have believed the 15-day BS. That's just the minimum amount for a pitcher. Like, that's transactional. It's very curious to me they didn't do it Monday. Like, how did you not place Hader on the injured list on Monday? It's so bizarre to me. It's just weird. They always err on the side of, we can't place him on the IL. It's a shoulder for a closer. It's his throwing shoulder. Like, there's no way he's going to be back in 2 weeks. What are you waiting for? They're weird.
And it's Josh Hader, right? It's the most valuable piece in your bullpen and the most expensive. And you're not going to, dare I say it, but for the medical staff, but you're not going to cut corners. You're not going to do anything that's a rush with a guy like that. So you might as well just do it and get, because again, I understand that the best case scenario yesterday would have been, yeah, it felt fine the next day. He's good. No worries. Get back out there. But the way that Espada described it and the way it seemed to all go down, this didn't seem like it was going to be a quick fix.
No. So I guess we'll just wait to hear the severity of the injury. But Sousa says like a month and a half that we're going to have to step it up. Espada says it's going to take a minimum more than 2 weeks, and he is seeking a second opinion and did not share the details of the first opinion. So that's what we know on Hader. I'm going to go ahead and bank that Hader is not coming back this year. And if he does, pleasant surprise. That's where I'm at with it.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, because again, and I go back to what Rome said too about squandering, this team has just stayed afloat all year and found every smoke and mirror possible to try and stay in front in this division and done a hell of a job. I don't think they squandered anything. Have they not been hot since the All-Star break? But everybody, when they've needed to, and all the guys they called up from Sugarland have stepped up big. I kept wondering throughout the year, when is going to be the one injury that they can't overcome? I was worried if it was going to be Paredes. You look at it now and go, now what do they do if they're going to try to find anybody else that can help them? We've seen just about every pitcher. So, you know, we talked yesterday about the fact that no one wants to see Ryan Pressly, though I know that was a hot topic today. You mentioned Kendall Graveman, but I don't think Kendall Graveman has anything left in the tank close to when he was in Seattle and they got him the first time. And he's obviously not on a team for a reason right now. I don't think they're going to go find any help outside either.
No, I think this is what you got. This is you're going to go to battle what you got. I think you can. I mean, they still have a shot, but obviously their odds have taken a tremendous hit with the loss of Hader. Would you trade the rest of the season of Josh Hader for Yordan in the final month in the postseason?
Ooh, that's a good question. You can't tell me like what kind of Yordan am I getting?
You got to roll the dice.
I think I would.
For me, it's easy.
Yeah, like I think I would because it's every day.
Yeah, Yordan's more valuable than a closer. As good as Hader's been, Yordan, who could be your middle of the order guy that can turn games upside downs, is more valuable than Hader. So let me talk you off the ledge, Houston. Let me talk you. You might lose Hader for the rest of the season, but you might get Yordan for the final month and the playoffs.
This feels like the C.J. Gardner-Johnson conversation from a week ago.
Hey, it worked out when we did that, too.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
McTaggart said Yordan will take live BP this weekend in West Palm Beach. Dana Brown did tell the quarterback this morning that he doesn't feel any pain in his hands. He's been taking every other day BP, I think, off a tee and stuff. So, like, he's trending in the right direction, Yordan Alvarez. But he's been trending in the right direction before, and then you hit a brick wall known as a broken fourth metacrapple. So, I mean,
someone say Jake was running in the outfield last night.
Yeah, they showed it on TV.
Okay, yeah, I didn't see that part of it.
But what's the cord? The extension band? He flew to Florida too. He's gonna ramp up.
Okay,
so that's good. So I mean, you lose a Hader, but Myers and maybe Yordan are on the horizon.
So you may be turning the corner from the all season pitching and defense get you wins philosophy to just pound them and try to beat them to death with offense.
Yeah. I mean, you can survive it, but it's going to be very difficult. A texture, I have lost confidence in Sousa. Would rather see Blue Ball in his spot for a 42-game playoff push. I think that we eventually see Blue Ball. I think Blue Ball is going to be called up later this week, maybe as soon as the Friday game against Baltimore. He pitched Sunday, though. He threw nearly 100 pitches on Sunday, so he's not available.
What? How do you see the back of the bullpen then?
Blue Ball has to wait X amount of days before he can be called back up, unless there's an injury. So they can either fake an injury to bring him back up, or they have to wait I think it's 15 days.
Okay.
So maybe it's, maybe it won't be Friday. Well, no, there's already a corresponding move. It has to be the corresponding move for an injured player.
Okay.
So he could have done it with Blue Ball if he took Hader's spot. But obviously they didn't want to do that because Blue Ball couldn't pitch this entire series. So they went with Gordon, who could eat innings, and he ate innings, but he pitched poorly. And he got sent down today for Jordan Weems, who's never pitched for the Astros.
Yeah, I look at it and just try to figure out. I think we talked yesterday about the – we know that Abreu is going to be your closer, but you're just going to be by committee, I guess, including even Brian King, and figure out the seventh and the eighth, and you got the three lefties, and maybe you got two righties now that you can go to. But I don't think there's a pecking order at all besides Abreu.
No, they flat out said that it's committee, even with Abreu. Like they asked us about it yesterday. Who's your closer? He's like, well, you know, we're not gonna have a closer. We're just gonna kind of, you know, mix and match, play matchups. Dana Brown echoed that today with the quarterback. So I mean, I think we see Abreu a lot in the ninth, but I think we might see a situation where if the eighth inning has 3, 4, 5 coming up, I think they could use Abreu in the eighth. And I'm totally okay with that, especially late in the year. Texter definitely out for the year and probably next year too. Thank you, Astros doctors. I don't know how you can put this one on the Astros doctors. This Texter's putting it on a spot. 36 pitches, 2 innings last Friday against the Yankees. Had to pitch multiple innings because the bullpen has been suspect lately. Done that several times with the Astros. Mm-hmm. I'm not putting it on a spot either. Mm-hmm. Like, pitching injuries happen.
You wonder, I mean, is Abreu going to fill that role now too? Where if they need 2 innings, are they going to go to him for 2?
I mean, he's been a guy who's been an up-down guy, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't think he's going to stop. I think that if there's a situation, like you said, you use Abreu in the eighth because it's the meat of their order or the matchup's favorite. I think depending on his pitch count, I think that Espada will look to get an extra inning out of him or at least a couple more outs.
Texter says Verlander for closer. Verlander's on another baseball team, so that's going to be tough. Is there any world where you take a returning starter like Luis Garcia and make him a bullpen guy? Absolutely. There's a world like that. I don't know who the option would be. And to me, let's kick that around to the other side. Who would that option be? Like, which starter would you convert to a reliever to help this suddenly thin, battered, injured bullpen? 713-780-3776. Also, what does your rotation look like the rest of the year if you were deciding? If you were in a spot as the most interesting manager in the world's shoes. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Guys, before we go to the break, a word for who I would recommend that you choose if you're thinking about anything with your AC unit. We know that the scorching heat of Houston is upon us. The triple digits are there, and they're probably going to stay for quite a while. And you got to make sure your air conditioning unit is up to snuff and ready to go and handle all your needs from now until we get to the quote-unquote fall. That's why I recommend Temperature Pro. Temperature Pro is the best in the business covering Houston and giving you the best service. 20 years of experience, that's first and foremost. Then they're trusted and reliable because you can check their reviews, starting with an A-plus by the Better Business Bureau. And they have all the big brands like Train, Carrier, Daikin, Goodman, and Lennox. And they offer fantastic financing, too. 12 months, no payment, no interest. Bigger than that, though, I know the owner of the company. I grew up with him, and I know you can trust him as opposed to some of these fly-by-night AC companies that are going to use less-than parts. They're not going to match up the right part for the system that you already have or get you the system in the absolute working order that's the perfect fit for your house and what you need. That's why I recommend Temperature Pro. They're not going to steer you the wrong way. They're going to get you the right way the first time and get it done for you quickly. They did it for my neighbors. They did it for just everybody that I've recommended to Temperature Pro has come back and said, not only did they fantastic work, give me the best warranty I could possibly find, but they took care of me with a smile on their face and made sure that I was happy before they left. That's what you want when you go to any AC company with something that's so important and vital here in Houston. Put your AC needs in the trusted hands of Temperature Pro and my good friend John Blitz. Go to Blitz, B-L-I-T-Z, proservices.com right now or call them at the easy remember phone number, 281-247-5925. 281-247-5925. Go to the experts you can trust. Go to Temperature Pro.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
713-780-ESPN. Texter, Red Sox announcers noticed Correa was running slow to first on a ground out. I didn't notice Correa running slow. Other than like a veteran not hustling when he absolutely needs to.
Especially if you're down like 7 or 8 runs.
Yeah, I didn't notice it, but I'm not suggesting it didn't happen. I just think I didn't notice it. None of the beat writers for the Astros had asked about Correa, it looks like. I looked at McTaggart, Kawahara, and Roman. None of them had tweeted about
Rome's
it.
Got it.
Just now?
Yeah, just now, 28 seconds ago. It's a planned day off for Carlos Correa, spot said. So good news there.
There you go. That's good.
Yep.
Good news there. He's not hurt. Red Sox guys just don't know what lack of hustle is because their try-hard manager has their starters in when they're up 15, Bush League Cora. Texter, he says, Chaz was out of the windup because everyone knows it's an unwritten rule. You don't steal when you're up 8 runs. It was 14. I believe you know that, though, right? Honest question, you know that, right? No, I don't know that. I don't know baseball at all. I'm a casual, I'm a noob. I
don't
watch
the game. Study like you're Jeremy Branham. No, make everybody think that you know ball.
I just fake it till I make it. I don't watch any of these games. I don't watch a single pitch of baseball. I have no idea that it's an unwritten rule that you shouldn't steal bases whenever you're up by a lot of runs. So do you think Chaz McCormick, with a runner at first, was working out of the windup because A, he's not a pitcher, kind of forgot, or B, because he was thinking of the unwritten rule and didn't think the Red Sox would steal base?
I'm going to lean A.
A or B?
I'm going to lean A.
A or B, Brian?
It's easy A.
I mean, I don't know. There's only one person that knows that, and it's Chaz McCormick. Chomp, chomp.
Put some truth serum in that banana pudding. We can
there's
find
only
out.
One person that knows that, but I'm gonna go with he just didn't really know the nuances of pitching and didn't really realize it. Now, maybe it came into his mind. They're not going to run on me. They're up 14. Okay. All right. Maybe so. Maybe I'm not giving Chaz enough intellectual credit. Because whenever we look at Chaz, we don't think community college in Pennsylvania. We think Ivy League, baby. Wow. Ivy League.
Feels like you're looking down upon Chaz and his education blasting.
There was no slide at Chaz. I was just using it to be a case in my argument.
Ty France supports that 100%.
It was funny, though, because watching the game, Callis started to, like, do a deep dive on when the last time Chaz pitched. And apparently he did pitch at his – I think it was a JUCO. I don't think it was community college. But he pitched at his college in Pennsylvania. He pitched, like, in one game, 3 innings, and, like, got shelled. Like, I don't think he ever had, like a strikeout.
Like, as a legit pitcher or just filling
well,
in?
Well, I guess – I don't know. Okay. I don't know. I think he was looking, like, at his baseball cube, like, pulling up, like, an old pitching number back in his college days. Jake Myers was a two-way player at Nebraska, by the way. Yeah, he pitched.
He pitched.
Jay Myers was a pitcher at Nebraska.
Maybe play a different position.
I was surprised that Chaz got it up to 81, though.
Yeah, and a lot of times.
Got it up to 81.
I think a lot of times, too, position players aren't trying to air it out either because they know they need their arm the next day when they actually have to play their real position.
Depends on the guy. Like, sometimes you see, like, 49-mile-per-hour ephesus. Right. I read on Twitter, I didn't watch this, that Jared Triolo was pitching last night for the Pirates, and he was throwing, like, 49 ephesus pitches.
What's his name?
Go Kooks.
For the Dodgers, that Kike Hernandez. He normally goes in. He puts the pitcher's helmet on when he pitches.
That's smart.
Because he expects balls coming back at him.
That's pretty smart.
And he does throw a lot of slow stuff.
I turned it off after the bomb that made it 5-0. Nothing that offense was doing last night was proving to me that they were going to score up to that point. I think it's fair. You guys are kidding, right? Astros got clobbered. Our bullpen sucks and only going to get worse. I don't know what we're kidding about. Maybe I lost sight of that. If anyone brings up JV or Presley, they make the list. Lance McCullers to the bullpen. Less pitches means less opportunity to get hurt and more rest. I do think that Lance going to the bullpen is the best for the team. I don't think it's in the best interest of Lance's right arm, elbow, whatever. But because he hasn't been productive, like, cool, move him to the bullpen. But my expectations for Lance in the bullpen is that he's your lowest leverage reliever and he's eating innings. Not that he's going to be a weapon in the pen.
Yeah, no, and we've had the conversation before we even get to what Lance wants and how they're gonna, you know, how they choose to deal with that. It's the fact that I just don't feel like it's the best case scenario for a guy that's arm has had that much done to it in the last couple of years. But overall, he said he doesn't want to be there either. But you're right. I mean, if he's gonna come back and they have to find a place for him, then he becomes your mop up long reliever guy, and he's gonna have to just suck it up and be the guy that does what they need him to do. Because I don't want to see him in the rotation anymore.
Yeah, I don't either. Like, he's not a weapon, though. Like, wherever he's at, whether he's your sixth starter, whether he's in the bullpen, the idea of Lance McCullers being a weapon, in my mind, does not exist. So who would be the starter that you would move to the pen, trying to balance out the best interest of the Astros?
Yeah, it's a good question because I was kind of contemplating who I need to have in my rotation, too, because they're connected. I would think that it's a guy that I would experiment with, a guy like Blue Boss, simply because of the fact that I like his velocity. because I think that Ort sometimes gets away with just strictly riding his fastball. But when you've got a fastball that gets over 95 that can compete like that and you can place it somewhere in the right part of the strike zone, I think you always got a chance as opposed to like Colton Gordon stuff. So I guess I would go with Blue Ball to start with.
Blue Ball is the one that makes the most sense to me because he's not – like I guess we could reverse engineer it. Like your five starters, assuming you don't go to a six-man anytime soon – Hunter, Fromber, Javier, and Arrighetti have cemented the three and four spots in my mind. Who's your five currently?
Right now it's Costanza.
Yeah. The McTaggart did tweet out their rotation against Baltimore. Fromber Friday, Alexander Saturday, and then Javier Sunday. So that, I mean, it gives you Costanza as your five. Now, whenever you get – what about whenever McCullers comes back? Does he crack the rotation?
Oh, not
okay.
To me.
Luis Garcia's back. Is he bumping Alexander?
See, that's where I don't like the fact that if he comes back and you do that, my expectations are super low for the results you're going to get, as opposed to I think there's a chance that Alexander could be he could deal for you a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to say no, but because of the situation they're in, I hope they say no. I just think that they've got too much invested in Garcia to where they're going to want him to start.
Yeah, I think that for me, like I'm on your wavelength here. I think you worry about the Luis Garcia runway next year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, Luis, you made it back. Great. 2 years. It's awesome. Great for you. I think that you try to lessen the pressure on him. And I think that you, I mean, unless he just like deals in the minors and like earns the promotion and Alexander struggles. But as we're talking today, I think I leave this five-man rotation the way that it is. Fromber, Hunter, Javier, Arrighetti, Alexander for me. And then whenever these starting pitchers come back, they would only crack the rotation if they're banging down the door or one of these other guys isn't pitching well, specifically Alexander.
Yeah, see, because I think that the only thing that would really kind of change this for me, because we're on the same page with it, is the fact that if Walter comes back, Walter, before he left, was fantastic. He was really, really good. And you had a lot of confidence whenever he took the mound. If he's a guy, but again, now because it's taken a while and he's still dealing with it, he's not going to be the guy that he was before he got hurt. And so he's got to get stretched back out. You don't know if there's any lingering effects to what he's been dealing with. So there's too many question marks there. He's the one guy that I might reconsider Alexander if you got Walter prior to the injury.
Yeah, that's there would have to be struggle there. Walter's the only guy who would crack my rotation too. So these returning pitchers, Garcia, McCullers, maybe JP France, I'm probably kicking the tires on them in the bullpen.
Yeah, if they have to come back and you have to find a spot for them, then the bullpen is where it has to be for me. And that starts with Lance, and I just don't care. I've gotten to the point, and you guys knew that I didn't have a lot of confidence to begin with, but I just gotten to the point that I'm done with the McCullers experiment for this year.
Yeah, I might be done forever. Texture says, I'd like to see JP France as a closer. Come out with the Ricky – he said one game. Oh. Come out with the Ricky Vaughn skull and bones glasses. Can you use the walk-up, the Wild Thing walk-up song? The bobblehead design will take 5 minutes. I want to see France nowhere near the closer's role. Mm-mm. He doesn't have closer stuff. I know it was a joke, but still, just frightens me, that idea. Texture, admit it. Season is done. Might miss playoffs altogether.
No. Not admitting that at all, because the lineup is significantly better than it's been. And up until last night, the lineup was putting up some pretty good runs and hits. I'm not going to admit that.
Playoff Seattle, Luis Garcia, he plays out of the bullpen. Depending on his stuff, Velo's been a little down, although he was really good in his last rehab assignments. Pitches tonight for the Spacers, so that'll be interesting to keep an eye on to see what it looks like, what the Velo's like, see if he's a step closer to his return. Is Walter done? I don't think Walter's done. I don't think he's close, but I don't think he's done.
See, and that's the thing. He could be getting healthier, and once he's healthy, you got to get him stretched back out if you want him to be a starter again. And all of that's going to take a lot of time to where it's hard to count on him between now and the end of the season.
I mean, Garcia to this point has had better rehab starts than Arrighetti or Javier had. I'd throw him in the rotation. Really, he's only had one good rehab start. Now, the last one was really good. I will admit that. It was better than any of these returning guys.
For five or something
But Dana, even today, though, was like, you know, we liked what we saw, but his velo is still down. We think he might have a little tired arm because he showed velo at the start of this rehab. So, I mean, line score versus what you're showing stuff-wise are two different things, but that's why tonight might be critical for him. Stay with the hot arm, pitch Costanza over Garcia. I think we're all there. I think that's kind of unanimous.
Lance is scheduled to pitch for Sugar Land in the next couple
tomorrow,
of days,
I think.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think they go back-to-back.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so if you want to see, tomorrow's an off day, too. You could head out there when you get off work.
No,
go watch Lance pitch.
I cannot.
No, you got obligations.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, blow them off. They're not important.
First practice, coach. No, can't
do it's not that important. Yeah, they're not going to mind.
No, can't do
You're an assistant anyways. You're not the head guy.
So?
You're not the head. You're not the head skipper. They won't notice that you're not there.
You got a lot of kids to deal with, Jeremy. You don't know how these practices go.
Yeah, put it all in the hands on the head guy. I think he'll be all right.
Head gal.
You're the number two to a...
Yeah, that played at A&M.
I'm kidding.
Yeah, she's damn good.
Hold on. Is because she pitched at because she played at A&M significant? What if she played at Houston Christian?
She played college softball, period, and she knows college softball. I mean, she knows women's softball a whole hell of a lot more than me.
What if she played at a JUCO in Pennsylvania?
Doesn't matter. Can she pitch? Okay.
Another one and done playoff appearance. I'm not ready to throw in the towel of the year. Like the Astros World Series odds. How big of a hit did they drop if Hader's out for the
Well, I know that just seeing the headline in my emails that the Mariners are the new favorite to win the West based on the Mariners being hot and then the Hader news on top of everything else. And I want to say that they're probably the fourth best odds in the American League now.
The Astros coming into today, Fangraphs win World Series odds are at 5.2%. With the law, if Hader's out for the year, and we don't know that he is, we're kind of guessing, but there's hints. It's a hypothesis. Mm-hmm. How much do they drop? 5.2 to win it all at the start of the day. What do they drop to if Hader's out for the year?
3.5%.
I was going to go 3.5 too.
Yeah,
we're on the same page. 3.5%. They still got a shot.
So what about the American
still a
League?
Chance. Their odds to win the American League. It doesn't say that.
Because I want to say that they probably slipped to fourth now. I would think that they were in the top two or three, but I definitely think they're fourth or lower now. I would think that they have Toronto and... Yeah, I would think Toronto, Detroit, Seattle.
To win the playoffs, teams above them are Seattle 9.9%, Tigers at 7%, Blue Jays 8.7%, Yankees 8.1%.
Those are the only teams above them. Yankees might miss the playoffs, period.
Yeah, they're
right now hanging on by a thread to the last playoff spot.
Their Fangraph odds though are 86%. I wonder if they have a weak schedule down the stretch. Looks like they do.
Maybe so.
Strength of remaining schedule is 48%. Looks like it's the lowest in the American League. Actually, just a quick gander here. So fourth best odds. Any teams jumping them? The Red Sox have a better chance now if Hader's out for the year.
Yeah, they do because of the fact that they're starting to get healthy and their offense. Some of these young guys are starting to produce for them. Where they've got a little bit more pop in their lineup, too, that I could see that happening.
Yeah, 3.5%. Branham graphs. Killer B graphs. 3.5% chances for the Astros to win the World Series. Why would you give up on that? Everyone got so pessimistic about the Astros so fast. 5 to 10% drop, said a texter. That's tough to do since they were at 5.2. Yeah. It's a big drop there to win it all. Abreu can close. Maybe a returning starter can step up in that role. Somebody's going to step up. Lance McCullers. He's gonna come back throwing 98. Keith on Twitter says, welcome to Houston, Craig Kimbrell. I'm surprised Keith didn't say Billy Wagner, as old school as he likes to get. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Let's change the conversation because this one's kind of sad. I put my journalism cap on last night, this morning, into the wee hours of the morning. Where is Joe Mixon? I scoured the internet, and I have found out where Joe Mixon is at. I have no idea when he's going to return to play. I don't know when he's going to play football again. But I have found the whereabouts of Joe Mixon, which is very important to us. 713-780-ESPN, Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Houston, the Walmart you thought you knew is now new. Who knew? Did you know that Walmart has more than a half a billion items online? It's fantastic. Find a huge selection online that you can't even find at stores. Go to Walmart.com and take a look at that half a billion of items. Branham family, we order online from Walmart all the time. We did it on Sunday. I'm drinking some coffee that I ordered at Walmart on Sunday. We go in there. We click the grocery. Sometimes we even put it in our cart early in the week just so we don't forget. Schedule a time, and they're always on time. It's great. It's perfect for someone like me, doesn't have a ton of time, doesn't like to mess with the crowd, doesn't want to turn off the game. So we order online with Walmart, and all of our groceries are there without having to leave the house. house. It is such a luxury. Oh, that's expensive. Online grocery shopping costs more. That's not true at Walmart. Grocery prices are the same for delivery, just as they are in the store. And because it's Walmart, you know the prices are very, very low. What I love about it, on top of everything I just mentioned, they're fast. Walmart can deliver in as fast as an hour. Going online to Walmart.com, ordering the groceries I need is actually faster than me going to the grocery store and getting the groceries I need. You're not sucking 2 hours out of your day by doing this. They're going to save you time. Also, if you use express delivery to get all of the eligible things you need from Walmart, from groceries to home goods to prescriptions, Walmart is changing the game. When it comes to feeding your family, hosting a tailgate, or throwing a party, think Walmart for all your grocery needs. Start an order today. Be like me at Walmart.com.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? No? Then download it now in your app store. You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
This is my journalism music. Whenever I put my journalism hat on, I listen to this. You know.
But she wasn't even a journalist, though, right?
She was a detective.
Well, she was an author who...
I have no idea. I didn't watch that stupid show. You watch Murder, She Wrote, you weirdo?
My wife loves that show.
The premise of the show is the fact that she helps solve crimes, but she has no detective experience.
I didn't know that.
My wife loves that show, so I see it occasionally. But the funny thing is that she...
How old is your wife?
She's
60?
No, she's about 7 months younger than I am, so she's 41. But yeah, she always goes town to town. Somehow she's the only person in the entire city who can solve this crime. All the police force is completely useless.
This is my detective journalist music whenever I scour the internet trying to find information.
Next week it'll be Columbo.
Texter, does Mixon have a puncher's chance of being available? I see what you did there. Pete, is the Astros medical staff handling Joe Mixon's situation? No, I don't think so. So I scoured the internet on what is going on with Joe Mixon. As we know, the foot ankle thing has been lingering around. Do we think that this is lingering from last year, the hip drop tackles, or do we think it's new? Do we think it's a re-aggravation of that? We have no clue, but what's our best guess?
My best guess, which I stated I think earlier when we were kind of talking about some of this stuff, was the fact that he had something done in the offseason. I think that was related to what he dealt with all the majority of last year with the drop tackle. And the fact that it never really truly healed or got to where he wanted it to be, and he probably had it cleaned up in the offseason.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's a good guess. I think it's a good hypothesis. So I scoured the internet, as any good true journalist does, and looked for information. All I could find was Joe Mixon slipping in fantasy football drafts, the ADP tanking, Joe Mixon being a backup to Nick Chubb. But I found one pertinent piece of information. It's all I could find, spending 12, 13 minutes scouring the internet. Jesse Morse, who's kind of an internet doctor, but I do think he actually practices medicine. He also came on with us before.
He has.
I think he was with the, which injury was it?
It was last year, I think.
Was it Tucker? I think it was Tucker. I think we had him on to talk about Kyle Tucker's leg.
I think it was Tucker.
Yeah, which, I mean, he's good. I mean, he's practicing medicine. He's smart.
Dr. Chow was the guy, and he's still out there doing it. But I think that Jesse Morse has kind of trumped Dr. Chow on people with sports injuries.
Okay, I'm down for it. So he quote-tweeted this doctor by the name of Rob Conanello. He's a Tampa Bay doctor, this guy. And it looks like
that guy.
No, Dr. Canelo. You never heard of him. He's Dr. Canelo Alvarez. Anyways, this doctor in Tampa, Dr. Conanello.
And I'm Mexica.
Has a picture with Joe Mixon and... I'm not sure that he is.
Well, no, but still, I'm just very, very entertained with that one.
I'm not sure that he is. But anyways, he posted this. Maybe it's Twitter. Maybe it's Facebook. I don't know. Somewhere on social. Maybe it's IG. I have no idea. But it's a picture of he looks like two other doctors, maybe three other doctors. And then Joe Mixon is in this picture. It's back on August 1st. So this is nearly 2 weeks ago. This doctor, Dr. Conanello, He said in this post, grateful for the opportunity to work with Houston Texans running back Joe Mixon. Tanned hand emojis praising. Being part of your care team and helping you reach your goals was truly an honor. Even better, learning from fellow clinicians. Is that how you say that word? Mm-hmm. Yes. I don't know. I'm not a doctor.
Yes.
And gaining insight from an elite athlete's perspective. Appreciate the experience. Flex emoji, football emoji. Hashtag sports medicine. Hashtag teamwork. Hashtag athlete care. Hashtag podiatry? You ever heard of podiatry?
Deals with the foot.
You guys are so smart. Hashtag podiatry, hashtag NFL, hashtag Joe Mixon, hashtag gratitude, hashtag performance medicine, hashtag curamedics, hashtag
grind.
ISMST,
Monday
hashtag
motivation.
Shockwave treatment. He's got more hashtags than I do on TikTok.
Wait, what is ISMST?
I'm sure it's an acronym for something sports medicine, probably International Sports Medicine Therapy.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's pretty close.
I feel like that might be close. Yeah.
I feel like, what did I just say there? International sports medicine, sports theory, something, therapy? I think I might be right. I think I might have nailed it. Hashtag shockwave treatment. So Joe Mixon's getting some shockwave treatment. So what this is telling us is that Joe Mixon, as of August 1st, is seeing a podiatrist. It does read, though, like this social media post, it does read like it's done. I read it like it's done. Grateful for the opportunity to work with you, being part of your care team. This, to me, feels like a goodbye. This feels like, hey, yeah, we'll see you later. We did our job here. You're ready to go.
So with you saying that and me reading it again, I think I go back to my theory and say maybe this team was involved in what he had done in the off season, and now once the procedure's done, there's that whole rehab and rehabilitate so that you're ready to go back to doing what you do. And it almost sounds like this is the final chapter of their job is done. Now it's yours to go play football.
I think this is the end of it. And it's kind of like, okay, you're 100% now. Now you begin your ramp up. But I haven't seen any of these Texans beat writers talk about it. Haven't seen any news on his whereabouts. Is he in the facility? Is he rehabbing with the athletic trainers there? The last time we really heard anything about Mixon from Texans camp was whenever Aaron Wilson said, everything's on schedule, Joe Mixon should be back by week one. And then Ian Rappaport was out there saying, week one's in jeopardy. And then the next day, DeMeco Ryans was clowning one of them. Like, that's up for interpretation on, like, which one he was giving a stern message to. I think it was Aaron Wilson for putting a timeline out there. I don't think DeMeco liked the timeline being out there. I think that's why he did the whole, you know, your reports aren't in the best interest of our player. Because if he doesn't make week one, all of a sudden the fan base is like, where's Joe Mixon? Why is he not playing? He's on my fantasy football team. I have the over of 950 rushing yards for him. I think Mixon was pointing his finger at Aaron Wilson whenever he did that whole thing, but it's been very, very quiet on the Joe Mixon front.
Yeah, but then I might be wrong too, because of the fact that when you read the Jesse Morse MD tweet on the picture of Joe Mixon with the doctors, the fact that the shockwave, which is a device used to break up scar tissue and optimize blood flow and healing, kind of lends it to maybe the fact that they're doing it without a surgery. That they're doing something because of the fact that he developed scar tissue and a bunch of stuff because of the drop tackle and all that.
Hopefully that's good news. Who knows? I really don't understand it. I don't know if it's good news. I don't know if it's bad news. But because we're kind of late in the game here. Like, the NFL season's going to start here pretty soon. Joe Mixon hasn't been on the practice field. I have a guess on how they're going to handle Joe Mixon. I have a guess. Like, that run, we talk about the, you know, I probably should tease this a little bit and do a good little radio professional thing and tease it to the next segment, give you a nice little thing to have bated breath waiting for the next segment. We talked about the receiver room yesterday. Mm-hmm. I think the running back room is somewhat crowded, not as crowded as the receiver room. I have a theory on how they're going to handle the running back room and how they're going to handle Joe Mixon. Next! On the Killer Bees. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.